Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little White Ball is life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. T-Bone, what is good, my man?
Chilling.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did.
What'd you get into?
I actually got out onto the course for the first time in a while. First time since Hawaii.
Hey, good for you.
So,
where at?
You know.
Jersey. The home course.
Good old Jersey Meadows. Again, for those of you that don't remember, it's basically my home course. There's a shit ton of power lines running through it, but it is a beautiful track.
Did you hit any?
And no, but we did have a playing partner. Shout out Drew.
Drew?
Yeah.
Nice.
Drew took down a, looked like he was going to take down a pretty hefty telephone wire, but it's actually sucked. He hit probably his best drive of the day. And it hit a telephone wire, and then he just slices the next one onto the street.
Sounds about
right. I told him, I go, you can't be upset. There's no way you're going to hit a good drive after you murder telephone wires. So,
right.
Tough break.
Yeah. And Drew, he's a college athlete. He pitched in college at our alma mater, Baylor. So there's something about pitchers that tend to be really good golfers. How's he played? Is he a good golfer?
He's improving.
Okay. I mean, he's an athlete.
He'll break 100. He'll break 100.
Yeah.
I kind of like that he's not amazing at golf because it's one thing I can hold over him. He pretty much beats me at every other sport. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jersey was good. Great fall weather.
Yeah. Shout out to Drew. He's a loyal listener of Three Under Par. So.
Yeah.
Shout out to
good
Drew.
Shout out. But I loved being out back on the course with slacks and a vest.
It's finally good weather here. It
was
nice. Perfect this weekend.
It was great. What sucks, though, is it really sucks how when the weather's nice and it's perfect, then everyone comes to the course and it gets dark earlier.
Right.
Can't catch a break.
Yeah, daylight savings was this weekend, which really kind of put a damper on it. I was out playing in a scramble tournament today. 5 o'clock, it's like, all right, we got to be done.
Yeah.
Sucks. It like
it's
marks
perfect
the
weather.
Official end of golf season, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But we're still here because this is a golf podcast and Little White Ball is live.
Yeah, and unfortunately, baseball's over.
Okay. I don't really want to talk about this too long, but the Astros losing the World Series, Game 7, was devastating. And the manner and the way that it happened, ugh. Grinke was dealing.
Yeah, let's move on.
That night. Ugh. We were eight outs away.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Congrats to the Nationals. But, man, that sucked.
I'm ready to move on.
First time. First time in any professional sport in history has a road team won every single game. Gosh, that sucks. And we're just on the bad end of that. Let's move on.
Onward. I guess we can talk about golf. Kind of.
Yeah, let's
kind
talk
of,
about
not
golf.
Really.
There's
not
a little
lot.
Bit to talk about. You know, they're on the Asian.
Circuit.
They're on the,
circuit.
They're on the Asian circuit right now.
There we go.
Circuit. That's the right word. Rory McIlroy, he won this week the HSBC Championship. It's a WGC. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Maybe some Rory versus Brooks rivalry possibly developing even more now. Tiger, his President's Cup picks are coming up this week. We're going to talk about that as well as Phil Mickelson and then some golf gossip. And then we'll probably answer a few outside the ropes questions. So that's what's on the docket. For today. How's that sound?
I love it.
We are coming to you from Houston, Texas, from the campus of the Cannon. Follow us on social media at 300 Par Pod. That's the number 300 Par Pod, Twitter and Instagram. And please subscribe, rate, and review. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts specifically, even if you listen on Spotify, or shout out to those who listen on Stitcher as well. There are a few people that listen on Stitcher. Shout out to those people.
I have no idea what that is.
It's one of our platforms that we're on. but leave that review on Apple Podcasts. And
do they sponsor Kyle because of his stitched up his lip?
Oh, he should. He's got a really nice scar developing.
Yeah.
We are missing KJ for this episode. Yep. He was also out playing in a charity scramble event with our friend Trey Cassidy, who's been a co-host of the show and also been on the show as a guest. And he said they had a really good time out there.
Looked like it. He usually has fun on the golf course, so.
He also said that he really pissed off a lot of people today, which not really surprising. I think it was one of those where they played in the morning, and then in the afternoon, it was like, of course, there were always people that pencil whip scorecards and whatnot, and it kind of sucks. But I think one of the groups that did that, Kyle, was like, all right, like, let's go play another nine or something like that for $10 a hole, whatever it is. And of course, like, KJ's a good golfer, so he starts beating them, and then they get very upset about it. I don't think KJ was sandbagging this time. Occasionally, it happens, but he was honest about it, and he still kicked their ass, and they didn't like it. So, sounds like they just need to relax a little bit.
In their defense, KJ probably does too.
Hey, if you come out on top, though, with a few extra cash, it's always fun to gamble on the golf course, too. Like, everybody does it. I remember my parents were like, you gamble on the golf course? What do you, like, yes, I do. We don't play for big money, though. Like, we'll play $5 Calcutta or Nassau. That's where, you know, 5-5-5, 5 for the front 9, 5 for the back 9, 5 for the 18. That's what we mostly play. Every now and then, skins, but skins are kind of weird. Or, like, you know, if you 3-putt, throw a dollar in the pot or something like that. It's all relative. So, all right, let's start off with some Rory McIlroy, WGC, HSBC Championship. T-Bone, did you get a chance to watch any of it?
Probably about 5 seconds of highlights.
Highlights.
I will say it's weird that it's a PGA Tour event. When it's a tournament's in Asia,
right,
and it's in November, and it's counting towards the FedEx Cup, that's still mind-blowing to me. And you also said, it's a WGC event, which is a big deal.
Massive.
Definitely a bigger than most tournaments on the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's in November in Asia, and Rory McIlroy won, and I don't really know about it, that's weird.
Yeah, the time change really sucks with that. Look, Rory McIlroy is playing Xander Schauffele in a playoff. Like, usually, if those two guys are in a playoff here in the States, I'm tuning in. Like, Xander's a really good player right now. So it's obviously Rory McIlroy. And, yeah, it just kind of stinks that all this great golf is being played and we're not really getting a chance to watch it, strictly based off time change. I think even waking up to Sunday, seeing that Rory McIlroy had already won, I was like, okay. Like, great. Watching football all day Saturday because at least Baylor played on Thursday. Hey, by the way, the Baylor Bears are undefeated.
Love
football.
It.
How
Leading
about
the
that?
Big 12.
Sick'em Bears.
I'm going to enjoy it while we can. And, yeah, sick'em Bears.
I don't want to be one of those delusional fans that's like, oh, we're going all the way, college football playoff, undefeated. Look, we're undefeated right now. Squad's looking good. Let's move on. Sick'em Bears. Shout out to Matt Rhule in Waco, Texas. He's done a phenomenal job over there. But we're going to stick to golf. The CJ Cup, Zozo Championship, and then the WGC, HSSB. HSBC, there it is. That's kind of a mouthful to say. They've been won by good players. Justin Thomas won the CJ Cup. Tiger Woods, we talked about it last week, Talking Tiger, won the Zozo, and then Rory McIlroy won. Those are three of the top seven players in the world are winning. I don't want to say it's virtually unknown, but unless you're a true golf fan or a diehard fan, which you either are or you aren't, I feel like very rarely are there few fair-weather golf fans that will watch golf. It kind of gets overlooked, which kind of stinks because they're playing some phenomenal golf over there.
Do you want to put me in that category? Because I probably belong there. I just admitted that I barely watched the highlights. So,
yeah, and I understand why they do it. And I was actually thinking about this weekend. Out of all, let's say, American sports, let's stick to American sports. Let's throw hockey out of this conversation because we're not as familiar with hockey and it's very big in Canada. In terms of global sports, I would say golf and basketball are probably the most global. You can make the argument for baseball, but it's really big down in Central America and Latin America specifically. It's also big in Japan, but football, you know, they play the games over in London, but they're mostly, it's an American sport.
Yeah, before you go any further,
just to
not sound too stupid, I think soccer wins this, but we don't care about soccer. I don't.
Correct. Yes.
Okay,
you're right. Soccer is by far the most global sport, but I'm thinking most popular sports
in
America.
U.S. and other. Okay.
Correct.
Gotcha. I was just making sure.
Right. Now, basketball has done a really good job because it's an American sport, but they've done a great job expanding their brand globally. Golf, even though in my mind, I kind of view it as an American sport, it's not. At the end of the day, it was founded in Scotland. The old course, St. Andrews, that's the home of golf. But it's really popular here in the U.S. But them playing over in Asia, really, in my opinion, they're trying to grow the game globally, specifically over in Asia.
It's, I mean, exactly what you said about basketball. I look at, even though this is a big tournament, in my eyes, it's basically preseason. And that's exactly what they're doing in the NBA. They right. have those, especially the Rockets, they have games in China, maybe different parts of Asia. And I think that's drawn a lot of fans long term.
Yes.
And all the stuff going on with the Rockets, Daryl Morey and all that stuff. That's why it's such a big deal. Because yeah. it's affecting so many potential fans and
sponsors and yeah. And even on the women's side, we've seen a drastic increase with South Korean women. I mean, there's a lot of really good South Korean women out there that maybe the American women, I don't know if falling behind is the right word, but they're not up there anymore in the world golf rankings as much. And I think they're trying to make that push more over in Asia because it's pretty well established over in Europe, I would say, especially since it's been founded in Europe. The Ryder Cup also, I think, has a really big big impact on that. But, yeah, it's weird. It's like preseason, but there are a lot of points on the line for this. There's a lot of money. Rory McIlroy won $1.7 million this weekend, and nobody, at least in the States, was here to watch it. You're just shaking your head right now. It's kind of it's interesting because they're already playing for the FedEx Cup. You get FedEx Cup points, but it's still preseason. I don't know. It's a weird concept, but I understand why they're doing it. We're just kind of missing out on some good golf right now, and maybe that's me and us being the selfish Americans that we want to see this good golf, but, I mean, they'll come back.
Yeah, and I think moral of the story, we haven't even talked about Rory.
Yeah, yeah, let's talk some Rory.
He's just so damn good.
Last week, we talked a lot about Tiger. Tiger getting 82
too much,
wins.
Honestly. By the time I was done with it, I was like, let's move on.
Yeah, it was a bit much, but Tiger Woods is deserving of that, in my opinion. As we established, he's the greatest of all time.
It's okay. A bit of a spoiler. We'll put him on blast later in the episode once we get to golf gossip. Something's stirring up.
He is headlining golf gossip this week. Rory McIlroy, though, it's great. It's a great win, and especially golf with how global of a game it is. It matters. I don't really even know where to go with this. Like, Rory's a great champion, it's especially with after coming off Tiger's win, though. It just kind of puts it in perspective that Rory McIlroy is not going to get close to Tiger Woods' record.
He talked about that. He admitted. Yeah, he said at this day and age and the golf that we know, the golf that he played, and it's realistically, it's probably never going to be broken.
Yeah, he's not going to sniff it, but he's still a great champion. And which kind of we haven't really talked about it because I think we missed that week whenever Brooks was low-key taking shots at Rory, saying that, you know, he's not even viewing Rory, that Rory hasn't won since Brooks has been out on tour, won those majors, because Rory was winning those before Koepka came on tour. But Rory McIlroy, he won the Players this year. He won the Tour Championship.
We've really been saying it's been kind of a broken record the whole golf season. Brooks is winning the majors, but Rory's amazing. He's not performing in the majors. Tiger's the best of all time. It's just kind of a carousel.
Right.
That's it.
So my question to you, though, is, do you think there will be a Rory and Brooks rivalry that will develop? Because I feel like in the media, I don't consider us media. Like, we just host a podcast. Like, this isn't
us
media.
And I don't. We're media. Come on.
Maybe for the Houston Open next year, we should try to get some media passes.
Yeah.
That's when you know we're official.
Yeah.
That's when we made it.
We'll get there.
But in the fans' minds and whatnot, I think we want a rivalry. Phil versus Tiger, Ernie. Or a Jack versus Arnold Palmer. I kind of hope a rivalry does. I just don't want to be manufactured. That's what kind of kills me here. And seeing Rory and Brooks in the final group at the Tour Championship definitely helps. That's the problem with golf, though, is that very rarely do you get those types of matchups because there's so many good players that are out there.
That's the thing. I don't think they're... I think those two are pretty clearly...
I think they're the best two players in the world.
Best two players in the world, mm-hmm. But I don't think they're far enough ahead of the rest of the field, like Justin Thomas, Spieth, Fowler, for it to be a rivalry of just them two, just fully established, kind of like it was with the people you just said.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and I hope that something does come of this. But like I said, not manufactured. It needs to be organic. The thing is, though, even like with basketball, we've talked about basketball a little bit. You don't get the Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird rivalries anymore. You don't get the Isaiah Thomas versus Jordan and the Bulls anymore. Like, those people actually had legit bad blood. And nowadays, all these guys are buds. They come up through the AAU ranks. They come up through, they play together in for Team USA. Kind of the same thing in golf. You know, these guys come up through the junior ranks together. There's that picture of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas when they're 12 years old together having a burger.
You mean the one they show every 15 minutes on the Golf Channel?
Yeah.
That, yeah, I've seen that one.
That might be one of the most overused photos, I would say.
That almost makes me mad now. I get it. They've known each other for fucking forever.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
I get it. But in the same sense,
it's cool.
Like,
it's cool.
Well, because they go so far back, like, there's no bad blood.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm getting at. I just pulled up the World Golf Rankings. Koepka's 1, McIlroy's 2, DJ's 3. Man, he's still number 3. He hasn't done much recently besides hanging out with Paulina. Anyway, JT's 4, John Rahm is 5. He, like, low key is up there.
Yeah.
I feel like that was overlooked. Cantlay is 6. That's also, wow, good for him. Tiger 7, Justin Rose is 8, Xander's 9, and Bryson is 10 in the world. How about Webb Simpson? He's number 11.
Should we go ahead and transition to President's Cup?
Yeah, that was a little bit later on the list.
Good transition.
It sure does. So Tiger Woods, he's the captain. I'm sure you've heard that.
I have.
And he won this week, but he didn't qualify on President's Cup pick. So the President's Cup is going to be...
Let's give a little background on the President's Cup and how the picks work for the listeners.
So the President's Cup is going to be like me. December 9th through the 15th, which is later in the schedule than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
it's going to be played at Royal Melbourne in Australia. So the President's Cup is the international team. So pretty much anybody outside of Europe versus Team USA. Whenever they decide the President's Cup, it's different points. I don't know what exactly the point structure is. I'm sure it's out there.
Just for your average golf fan out there, it's a Ryder Cup, but with everyone, but against non-Europe.
Right. And the United States has dominated the President's Cup.
It's have they ever lost?
They have lost one time, and that was in 1998 at Royal Melbourne.
Uh-oh.
Oh, back to the scene of the crime here.
Yeah, I know we talked about this earlier. U.S. losing... In golf is like them winning the bronze medal in basketball several years ago. It's
except for the Ryder Cup. We're not the favorites every year that win the Ryder Cup.
No, we get destroyed in the Ryder Cup. The President's Cup is different, though.
Yes. And it's, I don't know, I think originally it was because of a lack of talent from the international squad. They won in 1998. That's the only time that they have won. And there's also a tie one year, which is interesting. The United States had the cup, but then they legit tied. It was a Tiger Woods versus Ernie Els matchup. It was very intense. I think they literally just ran out of daylight. Kind of stinks. You don't hear ties very often with that. So, but we won every year since 2005, and it's every other year. So the Ryder Cup was last year. The President's Cup is this year. Next year is going to be the Ryder Cup. If you're an American, how good is that? You get to play on all these international teams. And then if you're the international team for the President's Cup or for the European team in the Ryder Cup, you have to wait every 2 years. That kind of stinks. USA just asserting our dominance.
Love it.
Everywhere.
But as far as the Ryder Cup, or actually I'm not sure what the Ryder Cup, but President's Cup, top 8 in the world in the U.S. automatically qualify.
Right.
And there's a total of 12 spots.
Correct.
And this year, Tiger's the captain.
He is.
And is it? How often, it can't be, I don't even know if it's ever happened that a captain plays. Does that ever happen?
Not very often. Not ever. So the past President's Cup captains, for example, has been Steve Stricker was at Liberty National, Jay Haas, Fred Couples was it three times in a row, Jack Nicklaus has been the captain 4 times, Ken Venturi, Hale Irwin, Anna Palmer.
Well, it's old veterans that know what they're doing, but they're pretty much done with their golfing careers.
Very rarely do you get a repeat captain. for the Ryder Cup, but clearly it happens for the President's Cup. Yeah. It's not as old. It's not as well established. The Ryder Cup goes back to like the 30s, back when Bobby Jones and Walter Hagen were playing in it. The first year that the President's Cup was played was 1994. Great.
But this year, the reason for all the hype is because now with
Tiger Woods, how
Tiger Woods is captain, and he's ranked 13 in the world?
Seven.
Oh, sorry, 13 in...
he's 13 in points.
FedEx Cup points. Sorry, top eight in the world or top eight in FedEx Cup points?
So Tiger is seventh in the world with the World Golf Rankings, but in terms of President's Cup standings and points, he's 13.
Okay.
So the people who have automatically qualified are Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Patrick Cantlay, your boy, Xander Schauffele, Webb Simpson,
Cooch,
Matt Kuchar, the penny pincher, and Bryson DeChambeau.
So when I'm looking at this list, I'm already smiling from ear to ear looking at who 12 is on the list and who 13 is on the list.
Who's that?
So I have a really good thing. I have a really good feeling that 13 is going to jump 12.
13 is Tiger Woods. There's a big debate going on. Should Tiger pick himself? Should he be a playing captain? You can bet your ass that he's going to pick himself for the President's Cup. So Tiger has four picks to make this week. He's going to pick himself, right? We just listed the top eight. They're automatically in. Tiger's going to pick himself. So let's say he has three more picks he has to go with. The people who are next on the list, probably the contenders of who would be picked.
This is 9 through 12.
9 through 12, and then some others who would probably be favorites. Tony Finau, Gary Woodland, Ricky Fowler, Patrick Reed.
Ooh.
Chez Reavie. How about that? Chez Reavie, good for him. And Kevin Kisner. I would say those are the people who are at least should be in consideration. You might say that Phil Mickelson should be considered because he's number 16 on this list. Also worth noting, real quick before we continue, Phil Mickelson dropped out of the official World Golf Rankings in the top 50 of the official World Golf Rankings. First time since 1993. In November of 1993, Phil Mickelson cracked that top 50 World Golf Rankings, and he has been in there till this week. How about that? T-Bone, you weren't even alive yet.
Was not alive. 94.
You're just a twinkle in your dad's eye. When that
Yeah. That's a pretty good streak.
That is unbelievable. What was that, 26 years?
Tiger doesn't have that.
Nope. Dude, when Tiger was not playing, he dropped down to like 800 in the world or something outrageous like that. So the fact that Phil Mickelson, dude, that's why he's one of the best golfers of all time. At the very least, one of the 1-2 left-handed golfers specifically. If you want to throw him in top 10, like, he's definitely in that conversation. There have been some great players, but especially in the era that Phil has played in, that consistently for that long, oh my gosh. It's so impressive.
It's good stuff.
It really puts in perspective how good of a career he has had to go along with his 44 PGA Tour victories and his major championships that he's won. Dude, if Phil just won the U.S. Open, that's the only black mark on his resume right now, man. Second place finishes.
Yep.
Fuel for the guy. And a lot of them were, I feel like early on they were outside of his control. Like a Payne Stewart making a putt to beat him. Tiger Woods. But dude, that Wingfoot one in particular. Whoa. Brutal.
Not good.
Okay, so back to the President's Cup. Who do you think, T-Bone, Tiger is going to pick for his next three picks to round out the President's Cup team?
So he's picking himself.
Correct. It's safe to assume that.
Yeah. And
I want to say the last playing captain, at least for the Ryder Cup, was Arnold Palmer. It doesn't happen.
So I look at the next on the list, Tony Finau, Gary Woodland, and Ricky Fowler. I don't see how you just don't pick those three. I mean.
So that means you would leave out Patrick Reed.
Absolutely.
You and Kevin Kisner?
There's no way Reed is even sniffing a spot, especially with all the bullshit he caused at the Ryder Cup.
Ooh, that's true.
I I don't see it. There's no way in hell he's not picking Ricky. No way in hell.
Okay. Because he's one of those locker room guys.
He's a locker room guy.
He's got a lot of experience with international teams.
He's going to be on the team.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think Gary's been playing solid once the U.S. Open, and then Tony's the top on the list in points out of all of them. I think you make it pretty simple and just kick just Fatboard in the corner. Three. Yeah. Patrick Reed, there's no chance he's making it.
And again, to reiterate, Tiger's picking himself. He's won 3 out of his last 13 starts. He's the defending Masters champion. He won last week. He's going to pick himself. Out of this list, I'm going to go with, for sure, Gary Woodland. You cannot not include the U.S. Open champ. He won the U.S. Open. That's considered the toughest test in golf.
U.S. Open, and then he's qualified technically in points.
No, he hasn't.
Well, if you're just going strictly on points 1 through 12.
Right.
Whatever. You know.
So I would go Gary Woodland. I think I would also include Tony Finau just based off his pure consistency. He had a good showing at the Ryder Cup last year as a rookie, which
was like
definitely
one of the
helped.
Only people that
played
well.
Yeah. Gosh, that US team really shit the bed. I don't want to talk Ryder Cup because I'm going to get fired up. But how do you keep Ricky Fowler off this list? I'm with you. The other person that I would actually might consider would be Kevin Kisner. Kevin Kisner, he does have experience on international teams. Also, he won the match play this year down in Austin, the Dell match play. So that proves that he knows how to play match play. Even though he's not one of those long guys, he's not a bomber. He's not a Tony Finau or Gary Woodland, for example, or Dustin Johnson. He doesn't overpower you, but he makes putts. That's what you need at Ryder Cup. There's nothing worse than a guy who's 30 feet and then just drains a bomb on you. That's a backbreaker. And then you're sitting there 15, 10 feet in, and then you're like, oh, crap, now the pressure's on you. I like the fact that Kevin Kisner is steady, he has experience, and he makes putts.
That's a good point.
But how do you keep Ricky Fowler off this list?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's going to be hard. Tiger's got a tough decision ahead of him. You know what? I'm going to say he picks Kevin Kisner over Ricky Fowler.
Wow.
It's mostly just to go against the grain on this. My heart says Kisner, but my mind says Fowler. Fowler hasn't done much, though. What has Fowler done in the last year or so?
Can't think of anything at the top of my head.
I'd say your silence is deafening.
Did he win Waste Management? That's all I can think of.
Yes, he did. Oh, yeah. That's when they had that rules controversy with the start off.
Damn, that was brutal.
It's like, what happened there? That's right when the rule changes happened, too. That caused some controversy. Freaking USGA. I'm not going on a tangent there, I promise. Yeah, I'm going to go Kevin Kisner, really just to be against the grain. Again, my mind says Ricky Fowler. We'll probably give a Ryder Cup preview at the beginning of December just because there won't be much golf being played.
President's Cup.
What'd I say? Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
President's Cup preview.
There you go.
We're less than a year away from the Ryder Cup, though. I love the Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup is awesome. So great. And I think Americans don't really get into
this is
the
just
President's
a little
Cup,
tease. It's just a little, okay, this is fun, and it makes me want to just watch the Ryder Cup.
It's good team golf. There's nothing like watching team golf. I think if we could get more team golf events throughout the year, great. I'm all for that.
Which is slowly starting to happen.
Correct. But this is a good start. I think the international squad, whenever we do our full preview, we'll dive into that too. I'd be very curious to see who Ernie Els picks since he's the captain. So it's kind of ironic when Tiger and Ernie were the two people in the final group that tied for the President's Cup. Now they're both captains. Comes full circle. It's pretty neat. We'll dive into a little bit more at that once that time comes. But picks are being this week. So you're saying, just to recap, Tony Finau, Gary Woodland, and Ricky Fowler, and Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Are the four picks.
Skip and Patrick.
So I'm with you, Tiger, Tony, Gary Woodland, and Kevin Kisner.
Well, we'll have to see.
Chez Reavie has had a pretty good year. I don't really want to overlook him. He just doesn't have the name firepower. That's why.
Firepower. The guy was two off the lead in the U.S. Open. They showed two swings on Sunday. The guy's not sniffing a spot. Patrick Reed's getting one before him.
I think you might be right. Patrick Reed, dude, he plays well in these types of events. He didn't play well last year at the Ryder Cup.
He played like shit and stirred up shit. He's not. He's gonna have to sit out for the President's Cup. Sorry, Patrick.
I really hope we win, though. Like, even though we don't really care as much about the President's Cup, I feel like we just still go out.
It's a tournament where you got nothing really to win, but a lot to lose.
A notable who we haven't talked about at all, and honestly, I am scrolling down this list and I don't see his name. There it is, Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth, he's not even in the conversation. He's number 27 on this list. Just to put in perspective, this is who he is behind right now in this list. Andrew Putnam, Kevin Na, Scott Piercy, Ryan Palmer, Jason Kokrak.
Jason Kokrak, wow.
Jason Kokrak. Most people couldn't pick him out in a crowd. If you're walking down the airport, there's no way that you would recognize him. But Jordan Spieth is behind him in President's Cup points right now. That's just to name a few. I mean, there's Kevin Na, Keegan Bradley, Charles Howell III, Billy Horschel, like all these guys. And he is below all of them. That just shows how much of a shit year that Spieth has had. Really 2 years, because these points are accumulating over multiple years.
Yeah.
That stinks. He does do well in team golf, but which he actually had a pretty good Ryder Cup showing last year. But, dude, that just shows if you're not hitting the shots, if you're not playing well, then you're going to miss out on the things that you... Because I feel like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we would assume that Spieth would be on these types of teams between now and he was like 45 years old, like a Phil Mickelson or something like that. It's pretty wild, man.
Yeah.
We're all Team Spieth, just to clarify. We love Jordan Spieth. But Spieth, man, come on, get it together.
Yeah, pick it up a little bit.
All right. So that is our President's Cup talk. We talked some McIlroy, Brooks, Tiger's making his picks. Let's transition to some golf gossip. T-Bone, what you got in the golf gossip world this week?
So, I mean, it has been pretty damn dry in the golf world. But there was something that I saw come up, and I think it's pretty appropriate for how much we praised Tiger last episode. I mean, I was getting kind of tired of it. I like Tiger, but deep down, I know he's also a dick. And
I think we have the new Tiger, though. He's nice.
Yeah. He's learned. He's getting better. But
yep,
this is the most Tiger story ever. It really is.
Okay.
So a story came out, and it's kind of been building up for a while. I don't really know how it got out, but Greg Norman is pissed off at Tiger.
The shock. And the shock.
The shark is upset. So back in April, Tiger won the Masters. Greg Norman lives about a half a mile away from him in Florida, and he wrote him a handwritten letter congratulating him, drove to Tiger's house, gave it to the security guard, and told him to hand deliver this to Tiger. The reason he did that is because whatever major Greg Norman won, it wasn't the Masters, right? Those are just the ones he pissed away?
Yes.
Okay.
He won the British Open and the U.S. Open, I believe.
That sounds about right. Anyway, dominant golfer. Was number one in the world for...
Amazing golfer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's just known for his Masters collapse.
Yeah.
But he is a true champion, especially coming from Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a stud.
Yep.
Anyways, first major he won, or one of his bigger tournaments that he won, Jack Nicklaus did the exact same thing. Wrote him a letter, had it delivered, and he said it was one of the best moments of his golf career. And so anyways, he did the same for Tiger, and Tiger hasn't done shit. He hasn't heard anything from Tiger, knows nothing about it, and he's pretty pissed off about it. And you know what? I'm going to take the shark's side on this. Actually, I'm going to kind of take his side on this because, okay, yeah, you should be upset. It's a dick move by Tiger, but do you really expect anything different from Tiger? It's just how he is.
Sorry, I just looked it up. Greg Norman won two majors, both British Opens. So he did not win the PGA or U.S. Open Championship. He won two majors.
Okay.
Two British Opens.
But yeah, the shark is upset with Tiger, and I don't think he should have expected anything, but it sounds like he does. And I don't know. I think we all get... It's crazy how liked Tiger is. He's the most liked golfer in the game, and he's such a dick. I mean, he's never in his whole career really signed autographs.
Mm-mm.
The whole sex scandal. I mean,
rehab.
DWI. What was that? Less than a year ago?
That happened really recently, about a year ago now.
God, Man. And we forget about it because he's so damn good at golf.
I mean, we kind of talked about it last week. There are only a handful of names that transcend sports and just, I would say, just culture of this world. Not even just American culture, of the world. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods.
LeBron.
I would say LeBron's getting there. He's getting close. I can't really think of any other person that does that, at least across a global scale. To do that, you need to go to like Paul McCartney or somebody outrageous like that. Elton John. In terms of athletes, though, Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, those guys move the needle. They are like the creme de la creme. Everybody worships.
And they're also kind of the same person. I would say in his personal life, Michael Jordan hasn't done even anything close to what Tiger did that I know of. But he's the same mentality. He's not going to sign an autograph. He's going to just do his own thing, not give a
rat's ass.
Doesn't care. Yeah. Same with Tiger. Just wants to win. That's what he does. People like him.
I'm with you, though. It's definitely a really nice gesture of Greg Norman. Jack Nicklaus did that for him. He loved it. So he wanted to do the same for Tiger Woods, a great champion. Yeah, that's kind of a dick move from Tiger not to at least acknowledge it. At least to our knowledge, he hasn't even acknowledged it. But I then bet, again, like, what else do you expect?
I bet that's in the trash.
I bet you it didn't even make it to his desk.
No. Also, in Tiger's defense, imagine everything he got.
Yeah.
I mean, he got. I bet he's getting letters from Trump.
Definitely.
Or at least from text the president messages or anything. Yeah.
He's getting messages from probably like Prince Harry too. Like literally royalty.
Yeah.
Man. But Tiger Woods has known Greg Norman for a long time.
Yeah.
Too. So maybe Greg was thinking they would go back on their friendship, use that card or something like that. I'm sure they see each other in town. What'd you say? They live probably a half a mile from each other?
Yeah, something like that.
They probably run into each other at restaurants or I wonder how many rounds of golf they probably played together. A few.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Man, yeah, it's so weird what you say about Tiger being so worshipped. I definitely fall into that category. There's no doubt. The boss man. We worship the boss man. But you're right. Like, he's not that great of a guy.
No, he's horrible.
And that's me trying to be nice by saying
that. I will say he's gotten better from what I know. I say that he just, I mean, whatever. He used to be horrid.
Yep.
And he's made gradual progress. And I think he's gotten that through with age, but
age, kids, everything that comes along with that.
But still, you know, it's just who he is. Can't change it.
Nope.
And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Maybe Greg Norman should just drop him an email.
Yeah.
Or maybe set up a situation where he accidentally runs into Tiger.
Yeah.
Let's say he does that at his restaurant and he like sets that up, but then Tiger's wearing the green jacket. Do you think Greg Norman would feel bad that Tiger has five of those? And Greg Norman didn't win one.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Oh, it's got to be killer. Okay. I'm going to ask a couple outside the ropes questions real quick. Again, send those in. Our email is listed on our social media, 3underparpod@gmail.com. T-Bone, this is for you. Who has better legs, Phil or John Rahm? You weren't expecting that one, were you? So the reason why this question came up, I believe this came from either Garza or Lopez. Shout out to those guys, friends of the pod. On the broadcast, they always talk about John Rahm's legs, how he doesn't take the club back very far. He just uses all those power in his legs, his tree trunks of legs. I think Paul Azinger was getting a little too worked up about that. And then, of course, Phil Mickelson has just taken over the social media game with his calves, taking shots at people or whatnot. So that's why the question came up, who has better legs, Phil or Rahm?
It's a weird question, but I have an even weirder response.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say Phil because I've seen them.
Oh.
Because okay. I haven't seen Rahm. I haven't. God, this is weird. I'm going to say Phil because when he's wearing shorts, you see his calves. They always talk about Rahm's like glutes and stuff, so I don't want to see that.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Phil.
Okay. I'm with you. I think I got to go Phil Mickelson here just because I always think of Entourage. It's like when Johnny Drama was like, hey, bro, where'd you get those calves? Are those real? There's no way those calves are real.
Yeah, Drahma would lose it for Phil.
Man, if Drahma were to see Phil's calves, he would probably start drooling all over them. And then, very similar to another episode in Entourage, he'd start probably betting $1,000 a hole like he does with Tom Brady and Mark Wahlberg.
Smash his driver.
Out there. Yeah. What is this, Tom? Is this custom? He just snaps the club in half.
Good stuff.
We were watching that episode the other day. So good. Yeah, Phil Mickelson. I think he might need to just take it a little easy. He's like taking stabs at Bubba Watson and went on social media. Just be like, hey, like that's cool. That's cute. But you need to try this workout. Phil.
Good stuff.
The dad jokes. So consensus here is Phil Mickelson. One more question, and then we're going to get out of here. This comes from Will in California. Which golfer would you be scared of stealing your girl if you were out at a bar? Which golfer would be Mr. Steal Your Girl?
I would say Brooks.
Okay.
He just kind of has the douchebag build and persona to him.
He definitely has the build.
And
yep.
I think he would be trouble. Yeah, I think to especially if someone's going to steal your girl, they kind of got to be a douchebag.
Got to be a douchebag. They got to be good looking too, I would assume. Yeah,
which he does. He looks like he could play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of has that jock mentality of like, I'm the coolest kid. He's like rocking the Letterman on the PGA Tour, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And he would be trouble.
I think so as well. Okay, so Brooks Koepka. For me, I got to go Dustin Johnson. And I don't want to dive into this too much, but there are definitely rumors out there that Dustin Johnson has single-handedly broken up more marriages within the PGA Tour.
I've heard that too. I don't think I want to believe it. Well, let's golf gossip.
Yeah, it's not confirmed. But I think him and Pollyanna are good now, yeah, on the straight and narrow, if you will. But yeah, there are those rumors out there that DJ, especially when he was doing a lot of blow, that it's not confirmed he did blow, just for the record. He just took a 6-month leave of absence for his health reasons, whatever. But let's just say there's a reason why Jason Duffner and his wife got divorced.
I don't know. We need to cover that on Golf Gossip before we push anything further. But to change the subject.
Just to be clear, not confirmed.
Yeah.
But that's the speculation out there.
Hmm.
I'm not saying
unfortunately,
one way or the other.
And poor Duff, he would not be on the list.
Duff Daddy deserves more.
I don't know, man.
Some girls are really into the dad bod.
That's true. I will say the one good thing about this question is the younger guns, like the young guns like JT and Spieth, they're losing their hair. Ooh, so I wouldn't have to be worried about them.
For a while, even still a little bit, Ricky Fowler.
Oh, yeah. He's on the list for sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't throw JT or Spieth in there. Or like Jim Furyk. I'm not worried about Jim Furyk.
The dinosaur?
Still, no. Or like a Webb Simpson. I'm not really worried about Webb Simpson. Or Zach Johnson.
No, older guys losing their hair. Bad,
you know who
lines.
I'd be scared of? Tommy Fleetwood. Dude, he's got the flow. He's got the accent. Man, that would be... If you're running to Tommy Fleetwood at a bar, like you and your girl, you got to get out of there as fast as possible.
Yeah, if he's got it slicked back, that'd be trouble.
Obviously, Tiger Woods. Got to throw Tiger Woods in there.
Yeah.
your face got lit up.
How is that not number one? Of course it's Tiger Woods. Oh, my God.
Let's see. Let's see who else.
He was on the, as they were saying, he was on the back nine of mistresses.
Oh. Ouch.
As in over 10.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods is public enemy number one for a golfer to steal your girl.
Now we're just, I feel like Tiger is like a shot at his personality. All these other people, we don't necessarily know. It's just speculation, just like based off looks and potential douchebaggery, if you will, that's out there. Adam Scott as well.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a really like nice guy, good dude.
He's a surfer.
He's not a douchebag, but yeah, he's got that accent. He's got the looks. Like
surfer,
he's got a phenomenal golf swing.
Yeah, I know he's a surfer and he drives Porsches and he's a stud golfer, good looking guy. Yeah, he would be trouble.
All right, that wraps it up for outside the ropes. Again, send those in. Email is 300parpod@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening. Next week, we're going to have a full crew here, I would assume.
We never know.
We never know. There's a lot going on. Well, we're in the midst of football season right now. Unfortunately, baseball is over, but hockey is also around. NBA basketball. Again, this is the best time of year in sports. And also, real quick, Jason Day. He might be Mr. Steer Girl at the bar, too.
That could be trouble.
Yep, for sure. So, not really sure exactly what's coming down the pipeline in the next few weeks. We'll probably answer more of these outside the ropes questions. If there's any golf gossip that is out there, or really if there's anything else that you, the listeners, would want us to talk about, let us know. That's why you need to write those reviews, send us emails, tweet at us, Instagram us, DM us. The DMs are open as well. So follow us on social media at 300parpod. That is the number 300parpod on Twitter and Instagram. And please, if you like this podcast, this episode, subscribe, rate, and review. Again, give us the 5 stars. But then most importantly, T-Bone.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Tell anybody. We're going to send the dogs after you. It's now your legal obligation, and you didn't even know it by listening to this podcast, that you have to subscribe, rate, and review, do all that jazz, but then tell a friend.
I tell my dad, and he's my friend, so.
Oh, you're friends with your dad?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Good. Shout out to Kyle.
Man, what a guy. He's such a nice guy. See, he sent us an email. I appreciate that. He gave some good feedback. Fortunately, we can't do what he was asking, but I appreciate it. Yeah. And if it's possible within our capabilities, we'll accommodate. We'll do it. All right, everybody. Well, thanks again for tuning in. And remember,
little white ball is life.